Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, June the 15th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the big book on page 45, We Agnostics. The first paragraph begins with lack of power through one paragraph ending, how are we to find this power? Be looking forward to your comments on that. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Letty G, the 12 Traditions, Mary P, and the readers of the text are Ann, S-C-H, Alex K, and Penny L-C. The share ID for Sunday, June 14th, is 23,549. That's 23549. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, June 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 23,555. That's 23550. Did I say 555? Wrong. 23550, 23,550. The newcomer greeter is Hillary B., and the announcements person is Shelley E. Thank you all for your service. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Letty.
Everybody, can you hear me?
Yes.
These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Letty G. from Nevada, but in California right now. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That's Mary P. from Texas. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 45. The first paragraph down begins with lack of power, through one paragraph ending, how were we to find this power? The comments are on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Anne SCH from BC, Canada to read and comment. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. My name is Anne, and I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from British Columbia, Canada. Today's reading, first paragraph on page 45. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? So those of you that may not have a written copy of the Big Book in front of you. The italicized words are power greater than ourselves. And as Mo referred to earlier, the squiggly lines. So it would have cost more for the types, et cetera, to actually put those squiggly lines in place, because when the book was first published in the 30s, this would have all been typesetted by hand. So that's the first thing you notice about the paragraph. The other thing I noticed, and I have never seen this before until today, and the word obviously, period. So you can, you know, the eye has a tendency to just glide through things sometimes. No. I've learned coming to a Vision for You meetings. When we are looking at the big book, we look at every word, every sentence, and every paragraph as a message from the writer. And obviously, it's probably, period, is probably the shortest sentence I've ever seen that I can recall. But really, the subject here is power. In the chapter, we agnostics, which is step two. And power greater than myself. And you know, the first thing I do with these paragraphs now is I personalize it, change it from the third person to the first person. Lack of power, that was my dilemma. I had to find a power by which I could live, and it had to be a power greater than myself. Obviously, but where and how was I to find this power? Question mark. And there's the, you know, I think of power as world power. Power as in the power to drive, electric power. But this is a power outside myself. This is a power bigger than world power. This is spiritual power. It doesn't say spiritual power in the text, but I have come to understand it as the power of higher power is the phrase that we use, but it's power most high, higher than any kind of power that is out there. In my life, that power and accessing that power is a daily when I wake up and then throughout the day. And it has to be greater than myself because I, for so many years, relied on my own power and didn't know how to act, how to come into that power. And it was very, once I got to that place, and we will learn this more in these chapters as we go, these paragraphs and sentences as we go, is the question that is put here in this paragraph is where and how was I to find this power? How are we going to find this power? Question mark. And that is answered within the big book. It's a matter of actually concentrating for me on what is being said and what is being written.
Okay.
So with that, thank you, Mo. And with that, I close. And I wish you the most high, powerful day. Pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Anne S.C.H. from D.C., Canada, for getting us started and explaining that paragraph for us. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Alex K.
Charlene
G. Haley L.
And I got Alex K. I got Alex K. I got Charlene. There was somebody after Charlene before.
Haley O.
Christina J.
Haley O.
Was that Haley
O? Haley O. Yup.
Okay,
Wendy.
Haley.
Christina.
Wait a minute. Haley O. And then I got Elena. And then I got Christina. And then who was after Christina?
Wendy M.
Wendy.
Annie M.
Annie? Was that Annie M?
Yes.
Okay. E-N-F. Okay. I look stuck there. Ooh. You guys gave me a run for my money here. Alex K., Charlene, I didn't get your last initial. Haley O., Elena C., I believe, Christina J., Wendy M., Annie M., and E-N-F. All right, everybody mute. Please, thank you for jumping in there, and we'll begin with Alex K. Alex is in California. Good morning, Alex.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everyone, for being here and doing service. I'm Alex K., compulsive eater in California, giving a reprieve for today. I'm powerless over compulsive eating. I can't stop on my own. I don't have that power, so I need a power greater than myself to do it for me. Without help, I'm doomed to a miserable life of struggling and suffering in this disease. No matter how hard I try, no matter how much willpower I exert, it's impossible for me to control this disease. I can't stop and stay stopped. I'll always go back if I'm relying on my finite human power alone. It's a disease I need treatment for, just like with any other disease. And a vital part of the treatment is a relationship with a power greater than myself. I can't recover without it. When I connect with my higher power, I tap into an infinite power and possibilities, and my higher power does for me what I could never do for myself. So how do I find it? That's what this program is about. The steps lead me to my higher power, and my higher power solves my compulsive eating problem, removes my food obsession and compulsion. It took a while to develop this relationship because I had a lot of resistance at first. I was sure there was no such thing as a higher power, and even if there was, I didn't want anything to do with it, and I couldn't understand what it had to do with my food problem. But I kept coming back. Somehow I knew that I needed to be here, so I stayed despite being very uncomfortable hearing people talk about God. And somewhere along the way, miraculously, I found my higher power, or my higher power found me. My higher power removed the barriers blocking our connection. I remember early on hearing the acronym for God, good orderly direction, and I thought, I could use some of that in my life. And my mind started opening to the many different concepts and ways of relating to a power greater than myself. No one was forcing anything on me. We each come to what works best for us. It's a process of discovery, and I'm so grateful I didn't give up and leave. I persevered thanks to my higher power, even when I didn't realize it. My higher power was working in my life for my good, and now I have a strong connection with my loving, compassionate higher power, and that's one of the miracles of this program and the greatest and most unexpected gift that I never imagined. My higher power has relieved me of hurting myself with food. I'm not struggling and suffering. And my thinking and life have been transformed in many other ways, too. So glad I stuck around and didn't miss it. Thanks, everyone.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much. That's Alex King from California. Up next is Charlene. I believe it's G. Tell us where you're calling from, followed by Haley O. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning, Mo. This is Charlene G. from Utah. Thank you for your service and all of those who make this meeting happen. And thank you, each of you, for being here and helping me. You are right. You've been saying things all along the way, and sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, it's sinking in. And it's going from my head to my heart. I always knew that there was a power. I always knew that there was a God. But I think I had this nodding, congregation kind of a thing. And I'm learning today, as the lead was sharing, that I have to really, really come to this beautiful truth so intimately, so independently, so individually. Step two really helped me understand who I'm surrendering to and what this power can do for me. And I've made it so much more personal. I just appreciate that the journey that I'm on has evolved, and I'm getting more and more every time. And it just keeps growing, this understanding, this absorbing. And it's because I have a sponsor. It's because I'm following directions. It's because I come here and hear your shares. It's because I'm studying the book. It's because I'm doing the work, taking the action. And it's just like it's been promised. And that power is able to be accessed all day long. And I minimized that in the past. And knowing that I am his daughter, I have such a beautiful relationship with my Savior, and I'm just so grateful that I'm in this fellowship, that I know about a solution, and I just want to share with others that we can have this. We can have this peace. We can have this serenity. We can have this restored spiritual self, and it's just a beautiful thing. Thank you all for bringing me along and teaching me, and I hope you all have a serene day, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That is Charlene G. from Utah. Haley O., followed by Elena C. Good morning, Haley. Oh, it's Kaylee.
Hi.
Sorry.
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can. Gotcha.
Okay. Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. Kaylee O from New Jersey. Good morning, everyone. I really appreciate everybody that makes this meeting happen every morning. I do really like this tiny little bit that we read, because for a little while, even while I was working the steps with the vision sponsor, like I definitely had a step one and a step three problem, but like hidden within the step one and step three problem, like is the step two problem. Like I just feel like I've worked the steps like all together three times, first in another 12-step program and then again in that other step 12-step program and then in this OA because I finally knew that I needed to, you know, really look at like my first form of alcohol. And when I read step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity, it's like in this chapter, I'm not required to believe in God. I'm not required to have a higher power at this point in the step work. It's just kind of like I'm having a conversation with my sponsor who is on with a fast about herself or himself. So it's like we're just having a conversation, but like where it says lack of power was our dilemma, it's like I knew that coming in, like I'm powerless over food. Like my life is unmanageable. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm reading the book. And one thing that I really appreciate is I found a vision sponsor and my lineage in vision really like has just this really beautiful, loving way of they just have this really beautiful, soft, gentle way of like this relationship with a higher power. And I'm from South Jersey. I'm from right outside of Philly. Like, you know, it's just straight from the hip. You know, we come straight from the hip. And like listening to these women talk about themselves and like affirm themselves through their higher power, like it was a really beautiful experience for me. But like I had to come to believe that through practicing these steps. So it's like I just feel like this is a really, every time I read this, like lack of power is my dilemma. I'm like, oh, right. Like, yeah. Like, you know, through the bustle of the day, like I forget, like I'm a compulsive overeater. Like I've wound up in hospitals and institutions. Like I can't eat like other people, you know, it's step one through step three, like every day, you know, and then obviously all the other things. So all the other steps. So I really appreciate like vision, you know, for all the people just coming in and listening, like get a sponsor, like work the steps with a sponsor. And it just really works. If not right away, like it does eventually work. And like today I can say, thank you. Today I can say like I have that loving relationship with my higher power. Like I don't need to self-mutilate through eating anymore. So thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks, Mo.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's Kaylee O from New Jersey. Up next is Elena C., I believe, from South Carolina, followed by Christina J. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, Mo. You're right. Elena C. from South Carolina, gratefully recovered, compulsive overeater. And I was struck by the past tense in the first sentence. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. And, you know, to me, today, that's no longer a dilemma. It was clear, when I was in the midst of my addiction, it was clear it was a dilemma. You know, I really thought that I was powerful over this and I can kind of fix this problem with diet. And, I was in charge. And then indeed it became a dilemma because no matter what I did, there was no way I could overcome this powerful condition of addiction. And, you know, after being recovered and working on the steps and finding a power greater than myself, there's no longer a dilemma. It is clear, maybe not all the time, you know, because I'm still human. But the majority of time is clear that God is in charge with my condition. And God is in charge not only with my condition, God is in charge with my behavior, God is in charge with my emotional security, financial security, God is in charge in my relationships, you know. God is in charge with my the number of clients I get in on a daily basis. God is in charge, and what I need to do is just find God in everything. I need to not forget that all I can do is say a prayer, you know, and it's as simple as "Thy will be done," or "Help, you know, help me." And I become humble, and being humble meaning to put a power greater than myself in charge with my life and in charge with my relationships. And I found this power by working through on the steps, by sponsoring now, staying in 10-11 steps of recovery after I recovered. And every day, it's a daily thing. It's an hourly thing, you know, really. And I'm really glad that I have you guys. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Elena C. from South Carolina. Up next is Christina J., followed by Wendy M. Good morning, Christina. I think she's from Washington. Press star one to unmute.
Hey, Mo. Good morning, everyone.
There you go.
Hey, sorry about that. So what's really standing out for me was when I was in the rooms for a while, vision rooms, I had a sponsor who's on this line, and every time we'd work together, because I worked with her.
We lost you.
Anyway, when I got in here again, and the sponsor would say to me, "Are you done?" And the first few times I said, "Yes, absolutely. Are you kidding? I'm in misery." But then it came to the point where she'd ask me that, and I'd say, "I don't know." Because what I didn't realize was my lack of power wasn't just the bigger part. The bigger problem for me was my lack of power around my emotions, the inability to handle life on life's terms, even though I controlled everything. You know, I marshaled every human power there was to try to fight life and to fight this disease. I had a God. I turned 60, and I was standing out on the porch, and it was raining. This was 6 years ago. It was early in the morning. Sun hadn't come up. Right then, in my misery, I got my first taste of surrender. It's like, oh, that's what they mean. If God handles everything, I let go of everything. And I got a taste of that, but I couldn't quite conceptualize it to the point where it was in me. So I didn't realize that God could handle all my situations, all my life, everything. I was completely hopeless over everything, but I continued to try to control things. And, of course, what helped me control those things? What helped me when I got into misery was the food. And what did the food do? It triggered the allergy, right? So I was in the endless cycle of I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. I didn't realize how unmanageable my life was because I was trying to control it. How did I connect the dots? How did I realize that God is in my heart? He's out there. He's in you. To me, he's in everything. But my connection is not outside of myself. My main connect is in my heart that flows through my blood and into my breath, causes me to breathe every day. And that just, I don't know, when I was in North Carolina for 3 years, I was miserable, in and out of the food. I couldn't control anything. Life was horrible. I'd lost my connection to God. And I just started really throwing myself down in the program, seeking God in every way I could. Every way I could. God was the main thing. Food was up and down, yeah, okay, but God was my goal. I chased it hard. And slowly but surely, my heart began to open up like a lotus flower to the sun, I've often said, and the power began to fill my heart. And today I have a very deep walk with this power. It's not always perfect, but that's because I get in the way. My stuff gets in the way, and you know, and I'll finish up with this. The beautiful thing is I wore myself out all those years trying to find the solutions. Today I get to surrender into the solution and have peace. It's an incredible place to live. Love you all. I pass.
Hey, thank you very much. That's Christina J. from Washington State. Before I take Wendy, let me just remind people who are getting on the line where we are. We're on page 45 of We Agnostics, the first paragraph, lack of power, and it ends with how were we to find this power. And good morning, Wendy. Colorado.
Good morning. Hey, Mo. Good to hear your voice. Thanks for your service. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Yeah, you know, thank God. Like, I thought my problem was my size. I thought my problem was lack of boyfriends. I thought my problem was to fill in the blank. No, my problem is lack of power. That's always going to be my problem in any situation. And then it says, how do we find that power? So for me, I always say God is a verb, you know, and how do I find that power? I give instead of get, right? What can I bring to the occasion? Not what can I get out of the occasion? It's really that simple for me. I'm addicted to self. I'm addicted to selfish, self-centered, right? And if I can get, when I get out of self, I get God every single time. And, you know, how do I do that? God, it's on my mirror. God, who can I help today? How can I get out of self? Every time I help another person, I get God. I get to plug into that power. That's how I get God. Or when I make an amends, when I tell the truth. I swear to God, you guys, this is true. Oh, my God. I have this, you know, horrible thought, right, that my sister was the pretty one, I'm the smart one. And so when I have a boyfriend, I don't want her to meet him. So I met up with her 7 months after I didn't want to see her. And I told her the truth. I said, you're the pretty one, and I was afraid you'd steal my boyfriend. I can't believe how honest I am today. Another way I'm honest is I say no when I mean no. No, thank you. No, I can't have that relationship. No, I can't be there for you. See, when I say no, I'm jumping off the cliff, and I'm trusting God. You know, how do I get power? I've got to jump off that cliff. I've got to say no. You know, putting down the food is a no. It's trusting God that we're going to be okay with whatever weighed and measured food plan we're turning over the night before. When I say no to somebody and they want me to say yes, I'm trusting God. I'm not using people-pleasing to control, manage, and fix the situation. You know, any time I tell the truth, I surrender. Telling my sponsor, hey, I was putting crap in my coffee. You know, that's jumping off the cliff. God is a verb. I get to God. I don't know that I believe in God, but I experience God constantly because I'm willing to jump off that cliff and say, this is what I'm eating. This is where I'm lying. This is where I need to make an amends. Yesterday, I was in a Zoom meeting, and you know what I was doing? I was talking crap about the other people, and guess what? My microphone was on, and everybody heard it. And I'm smiling right now because God convicts us. God says, you know what, Wendy, sometimes you're going to get me through something that's miserable and very uncomfortable for you, which is talking crap about other people. God wants me to learn the lesson of, thank you, humility. You know, it's not always comfortable, but it's always God 24/7. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Wendy M. from Colorado. Up next is Annie M, followed by Ian F, and after Ian, I can take another lineup. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning. I'm Annie. I am a compulsive overeater, and thank you, everyone. Oh, my gosh, the shares are so beautiful and incredible. So lack of power is my dilemma. I love that paragraph in the big book. And it's just so perfect for me because, you know, I came in here, I think it was over a month or ago, and you know, I really wanted to try this thing. And it's kind of very similar to my alcoholism. I think I got this, or I don't know what I'm up against. And I've just not really been working it at all. And I think the reason what goes on for me is I do pretty good for a while. I have this very wonderful woman that lives close to me, and she's in the program, and she's what really connected me back into here. But anyways, what goes on is my work gets really intense, and I'm going to have a show, and I just need food. I need, you know, literally, but I need this companion, this power, you know, and it was just so perfect for me because I just want to do this. I want to just bring this relationship with this power greater than myself. Like people were saying, you know, it's just so beautiful to hear, like, you know, I don't have to believe, I have to experience. Because beliefs, they can disappoint me. but reality, the reality is that I just have this relationship with food that is really there for me, and it occupies so much of my waking hours. And it's not about the weight. I mean, I have put on weight, and it's really uncomfortable. But I can see, because I'm older now, if I don't hear you guys, if I don't open that big book, if I don't reach out to my sponsor and say, yes, I really do want you to sponsor me, and I need you every day. I thank you so much. I won't be able to keep doing this, you know, so... Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you very much. That's Annie M., and she is from California. And before I take ENF, I'll remind everybody where we are. We're on page 45 of the Agnostics, Lack of Power. That was our dilemma. And it ends with, how are we to find this power? And after Ian, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning. Thank you for weathering the storm of everyone who wanted to share, and thank you for everyone who wanted to share and who has. My name is ENF, compulsive overeater. The concept of God is kind of ridiculous to me on the front face of things, because it seems completely illogical, and what helped me in grappling with this concept was that this bit about lack of power is talking typically about when it comes to my willpower to and my discipline to not eat compulsively, I am lacking. And I mention that because a lot of times when I'm talking about God or thinking about God, it gets really vague. But what they're talking about is that moment where I want to eat even though I know that it's not the right time or not the right thing and it's going to go very poorly. And regardless of all that knowledge that I have, I'm just incapable of resisting the temptation. Like, that is the power that I'm lacking. And so, instead of trying to engage with all the discourse of who is God, why does God do the things that God does, why is the world so messed up, all of that stuff that I always want to engage with because I love talking about it, I love thinking about it. Instead, the question that has been posed to me that helped the most was, have you been able to do this by yourself? Is what you are doing working? Because I can deny the plausibility of God all that I want, but most people who come to this program and stick around if they answer honestly, they cannot honestly say that the way that they've been doing things worked for them, because they wouldn't be here otherwise. If they could stop eating on their own power, they wouldn't be an overeaters anonymous. There's no reason. That was what helped me. Like, okay, I don't know what God is supposed to be. I can't answer that stuff. That's all grand and theological, but I know that what I'm doing isn't working, so I'm willing to admit that something else might. And that's a great starting point. And that's a great starting point regardless of whether I'm talking about the powerlessness of food or the powerlessness over life. I get to that stage all the time. Life is still not manageable by me, you know. The difference is that by working the program, I have the power of choice and food. And I get to continuously, day after day, rely on something that I don't understand. God, I would never claim to. I think if I ever claim to understand God, I desperately need help, you know. But I can rely on it. And that's been practice and sticking around in the rooms and being willing to do things I've never tried before. That's all I got. Love you guys. Okay.
Thank you very much. That is Ian F. from Indiana. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I could take about three, maybe four names who would like to share.
Margaret.
I heard a Margaret.
Margaret.
And then I heard a Tricia. Was it a Tricia or Patricia?
Patricia N. Yep.
Lisa N.
Okay. Lisa N. And Marie M. All right, let's stop there. Marie M. I think it was M. All right, I have Margaret O, Patricia A, I think it was Lisa N, and Anne Marie, I believe it's M. All right, Margaret O, you're up first, and tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service and everybody on the line and all the shares so far. Margaret O, I'm in Connecticut, Eastern Time. Love this very brief paragraph, and it is the crux of the program. The crux of the problem is not having access to power, and that is the whole point of the steps, is getting access to power, because this disease, I can't strong arm this disease. I can't just, I'm powerless, and I know that, and the disease is powerful, cunning, and baffling. So I have to act as if. I mean, I sometimes, like the previous share, I love that. That God is, it seems like some nebulous force that's just out there that I don't have. It's kind of beyond my reach. And then I have this immediate problem of like feeling a compulsion and not wanting to, stay abstinent and just go to the food. Is that, knee-jerk reaction that's so rooted in my behavior. But the truth is, that is exactly where the power shows up. As long as I'm doing the footwork, work the steps, do service, connect with fellows, connection with all of you is the pipeline to my higher power. That's where it comes through. It's, people say God with skin on. And, what I can do, I was just meditating this morning, and I saw, I'm going to start crying. I had my eyeglasses on a book, and I was just sitting back, kind of looking up at the sky, and I could see the wind, it's really windy out, it was blowing the page, but my eyeglasses were holding it back, and the page was like straight up and down, like with the wind, but the eyeglasses were holding it back, and I'm looking at it going, that is God. That is God, is the eyeglasses. The disease is the page. And the wind is, I guess, which is which. But it was just like, it was kind of a metaphor for watching God holding back the disease. And those moments do happen. When it's effortless, when I feel a compulsion and I do a 10th step, or I pick up the phone and I connect with anybody, that is just, it just sets the disease on its ear. the disease loses power. It loses a grip as soon as I step into program. So I've got to resist the temptation to isolate, which was always my MO, to just survive. And that is a contrary, behavior for me. I that doesn't serve me any longer, and I have to connect, and I need all of you to do that. So, acting as if, and then working the steps, service, and connection with others. That is the formula. So thanks for listening, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That is Margaret O. from Connecticut. And it looks like I'm only going to have time for one more. Patricia A., you're up next.
It's Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. You're fine, honey. You're fine. I came into the program with a higher power. However, as I started going through the steps, I realized I didn't really trust them. You know, and it's like, all right, I believe in this God that, you know, created the heavens and the earth, and I don't trust them? It's like, what is wrong with me? And what I realized as I kept on coming in and out, getting abstinent, breaking my abstinence, getting abstinent, breaking, what I realized this go-round is that it's my disease that I need rescuing from, not just the food. It's this disease, it's the thinking of this disease, the self-centeredness, the inability to live life, the thought that comes in, well, you could have just a little bit. Well, you didn't commit your whatever, so you can, it's okay, nobody knows. You know, and all this crazy thinking is what I need rescuing from, my thinking, more than my food. And this is what I keep on praying and just keep on seeking God for, because I have a disease of more and of anything that will give me that ease and comfort. And I need that ease and comfort to be God, God himself, nothing here from the earth. Anyways, with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. That is Patricia A.M.D. from North Carolina. Well, we can take Lisa N. I can give you a 2-minute share, Lisa, if you'd like
okay.
to take it.
Yeah, I'll take
All
it.
Right.
Thank you, Mo. This is Lisa N., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. Thank you. excuse me. I don't know, y'all. I don't know when these paragraphs are going to stop blowing my mind. I mean, really, you know. This one's a doozy, lack of power. There was a previous share, I don't know, maybe 2 shares ago that talked about if I had the power to not be killing myself with food, I am a self-preservation person. You know, that's how we are. Well, of course I wouldn't be doing it. So of course I wouldn't be in a program, and of course I wouldn't need a power, you know? So what I have to say, you know, to the newcomer or anybody who is struggling, man, if you can stick around long enough and stay alive, and that's what I did. I kept coming back. I would leave that way. I would come back. I would try and find another solution. I would come back. And I stayed alive. Now, I was the walking dead for sure, but obviously I'm alive. I'm talking on the phone right now. So if I could stay alive and really grasp this, nobody wants to kill themselves with food. That's not who we are. So if I can't fix it, there's got to be something, somebody that can. And I'm so grateful that I stuck around, enabled. I let that power come in and save my life and give me a life today. And with all that,
thank you very much, Lisa N. from Georgia. Anne Marie, please come back tomorrow. And thank you all who shared.
Oh,
thank you all.
I'm so sorry. I thought you called my name.
No, I just was saying come back tomorrow because I ran out of time. All right. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Alex Kay to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Alex. I'm getting tongue-tied here.
Thanks, Mo. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand. God, admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.